Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This portion of the Big Brother Jake podcast is refreshed by the Venice Beach Beverage Company. Go to VeniceBeachBeverage.com to order some of the most amazing beverages you'll ever have.
Big Brother Jake is taped before a live studio audience.
Jake Warner was at the control.
So sit back, relax, and check this drone out right here.
Jake!
No!
Okay, here we go.
So good to be back.
This podcast is for the people.
No, nobody knows who I am.
Live from the Big Brother Bungalow in Southern California.
Ready to talk a bunch of nonsense with you.
I can't stand them.
It's the Big Brother Jake Podcast.
Yo, what's good? It's the Big Brother Jake Podcast. I am your host, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner. Welcome to the show. You can listen to the show on podcast1.com. Keyword search, the Big Brother Jake Podcast. You can also go to iTunes or Google Play or Spotify or TuneIn or Pandora Radio. And now, Amazon.com, keyword search, The Big Brother Jake Podcast, and boom, you're in there. Once again, it's very good to be back at the Big Brother Bungalow. Hope your Thanksgiving was a good one. This Thanksgiving that I just had, it was mid. You know, as the kids say, it was okay. The restaurant we went to wasn't a pleasant experience. I'll get into that. And I also have a new segment here in segment one called The Shit That Got My Attention This Week. So we'll go over all the shit that got my attention this week in the first segment. In the second segment, I was approached by somebody I know in regards to dating. And the topic, to me, is always interesting. And a good friend of mine introduced me to this clip of a poet or an influencer that broke down the art of going on dates and dating. And that'll be in segment two. And in the third segment, I talk about my Christmas list. I mean, Thanksgiving's over. And so I have a list of things I want to ask. Things that I want this year. I'm trying to get into the Christmas spirit. Like I said last year on this podcast, I'm really changing my ways. And this year, there's no resentment. So in segment three, I will discuss my Christmas spirit and the things that I really want for Christmas. So we'll get into that. But right now, I'm recapping my Thanksgiving. Now, the restaurant that I went to that I will no longer name for fact that they did a poor job. Of course, I enjoyed being with Mama Pam, and I got some breaking news on Mama Pam in the third segment as well. Mama Pam and my Uncle Daryl, that has been on this podcast with my mom discussing their 35 years of friendship and his significant other, all three of us went out to dinner. Shout out to Eric, okay? So, Daryl, Eric, my mother, myself, we went to this restaurant that I will not give props to anymore. I knew we were up against it when I dropped the ball, and I wanted Thanksgiving a little later, and I debate this with Mama Pam all the time. Thanksgiving at noon just doesn't do it for me because I'm hungry by 3 o'clock, and I'm already over wanting turkey and cranberries and stuffing and all that shit. Like, I'm already over it, okay? I really don't care to have that food even 4 hours afterwards. I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving leftovers. And if you're still eating Thanksgiving leftovers right now, a week later, shame on you. That's disgusting. You should be 2 days and that's it. Maybe even three. Anything after 3 days, throw that shit out, okay? Enough's enough. Nobody needs to eat that turkey no more, that stuffing, the gravy, the yams, the macaroni and cheese. All that needs to just stop, okay? A lot of y'all focus on ham for Christmas. I personally like to eat pizza on Christmas. It's always been a thing of mine, love to make homemade pizza or eat some gourmet pizza. And tacos is a good meal any holiday, any time of the year. But I digress. We go to this restaurant, and we're having a good time. We're drinking, having some palomas, having a good time, enjoying each other's company. And we order our plates, and we're like, yes, you know, this is exactly what we're looking for. And it came out cold. Cold. You're at a restaurant where there's hot everything everywhere. And I'm never one to complain. I'll usually just eat my food or not say anything, and because I don't want it to go back, because I know what happens when you send it back. But I wasn't having it. It was a cold plate. I had my turkey and my stuffing. No cranberry sauce because they forgot it. So I had to make that note. And then I had to, you know, just say something. And I'm like, Mom, this ain't working. Daryl, is this working for you? Eric, is this working for you? No? Okay, cool. So I'm like, we need to send this back. The second time it comes back out, it's warmer, but it's missing a key component, the macaroni and cheese. So when we tell them, hey, where's the macaroni and cheese? We ran out of it. Can we get extra of everything? Kitchen's pretty much low on everything. All right, so we're going to eat it. And we were trying to be cool, and the drinks were good. The conversation was great. And then dessert comes with the damn food, with the meal. They ran out of pumpkin pie. Now, when you activate Mama Pam's crazy or her threshold, you don't want to do that. Because even though Mama Pam is the only white dot in the hood, she does have a very strong Karen, but gets results. Sorry, Mom. So she went and rightfully complained to the general district manager of this chain. And, of course, he's all, well, I've been here since 4 a.m. I haven't had dinner with my family. Bro, you made the choice to work there. I don't want to hear your sob story. What I want to hear is some kind of results, because you don't piss off my mom, all right? So they did refund the money for the food, but not the drinks. Fair enough. Server was great, but I'm starting to contemplate maybe either booking it earlier or going to another location or another restaurant altogether. So that was my Thanksgiving. But the day started with me doing laundry. I did laundry, I watched football, and I laid around. Even got two naps in that day just because I didn't feel like doing shit, you know. So that was my Thanksgiving in a nutshell. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, that you wore your fancy clothes to either your own living room or someone else's. Or you lounged around and just did nothing. But, yeah, it's my favorite holiday, but there's got to be some changes for next year. But, you know, it is what it is, and lesson learned. But I want to get to the shit that got my attention this week. Okay. Yes, the shit that got my attention this week. One of the things that got my attention, and I got to say, this is something I wished when I worked in the corporate world would have took place. The four-day work week. Different countries around the globe, mainly in the UK, tried something that's never been done. They tried a four-day work week, and this is something I've always wanted to do. You know, for the most part, 40 hours a week is the standard, okay? They split 4 days, 10-hour days, 4 days, into a work week to see what would work. And in London, according to CNN Business, the four-day work week was a success, and it was good for business. They've done this for the last 6 months. And most of the 33 companies they surveyed and the 903 workers that did this schedule, with no reduction in pay, are more than likely never going back to a standard five-day work week. Okay? Production's up across the board. And there's some companies here, even in the United States and Ireland, that took part of this experiment. And they said that revenue rose 38% at the same time from last year, working a five-day work week, all right? Experts like John Leland, a chief strategy officer for a company called Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding site that participated in this four-day work week, said it's a true win-win. It's good for business. Staff was more focused, more engaged, and more dedicated. Here's the thing. I love this idea. Me, myself, I have a very unorthodox work week. I have my 9-to-5 with Podcast One. Shout out to Podcast One. That carries this amazing podcast, the Big Brother Jake podcast. I pretty much make my own schedule, and they're cool with it. And, of course, Kings, Clippers, Angel City FC, sometimes the Dodgers. I work around that schedule. So I don't have your normal 9-to-5, except in the offseason. But a four-day work week sounds phenomenal. Sounds great. And I can see where this could work. You already have a three-day weekend to work with. So, you know, you got your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday. How could you lose with that? And you're going to want to get more work done. Yeah, you're going to have a longer day, but it's only 2 hours more. Most of that time you're spending in the car commuting anyways or whatever, and you're still doing a 10 to 12-hour work day. So what's the problem working four 10s? You know, nurses do it with, you know, three 12s or four 12s, you know, whatever it is. I'm sorry, no disrespect. You know, cops do the same thing. Firefighters, they have their own. But, like, a four-day work week just sounds great. And it looks like it's a success. I know Chick-fil-A is trying to get into that as well. And I think we need to do that. Four-day work week. Get the hell rid of daylight saving time. I'm on to something. I know I am. That's one of the things that got my damn attention this week. Also, here's another thing that got my attention, and not for the right reasons. I love the people I follow on Instagram, and I love social media. I told you I am a social media junkie. It's a good time killer for me. I don't even watch TV nearly as much anymore. I like social media more than I like watching television. But the thing about followers or Instagram people are followers. And a lot of people are sheep. Because all I see all up and down my damn timeline is those stupid Spotify recap lists. I have to say it. I love that people can talk about their musical tastes. I love the fact that people, you know, I'm a big music guy. Music is everything to me. Music is the soundtrack to, you know, my life. Like, if it ain't food, it's music that has a lot to do with my life. But the thing is, a lot of people don't know, like, my favorite songs, except my closest friends. Of course, Spread My Wings from Troop is my favorite song of all time. So for those that remember that, when it's my time to go, that's a song I want played at my funeral. Spread My Wings by Troop. Or Never Gonna Give You Up from Rick Astley. Not gonna lie, those are my two favorite songs of all time. Call me weird, I don't give a damn. But do you really think people care about what the hell you listen to? So much so that it's posted everywhere? Sorry. I put these Spotify recap lists on the same platform as a recorded concert, recorded fireworks shows. Nobody's going to watch those again. Nobody cares. Just like your Spotify recap list. I'm sorry. It's stupid to me. But the most streamed artist is this guy right here. Bad Bunny, for the second year in a row, is the most streamed artist of the year on Spotify. Now, I'm not going to hate on Bad Bunny. He makes pretty good music. I'm not a fan of his. I've seen him live. I've seen him perform. And I was impressed. You know, the crowds love him. He has a big fan base. His music's catchy. He's a global phenomenon. He transcends not just in the Latino world or the Latin world and Latin music, but he's loved by everyone. but I'm not a fan. I don't see the appeal. It's not because of my age. I love all music, new music, old music, whatever. I don't see the appeal, but hey, I'm not going to knock the guy's hustle. And congratulations, Bad Bunny, for being the most streamed artist for Spotify for 2022, second year in a row. But the thing that just irks me the most, all these lists. No one cares. No one cares about your favorite artist or how many times you've streamed or listened. The only thing that's kind of cool are actual artists that post their stats, because I'm into independent music. And shout out to the Independent Music Spotlight. I'm a big fan of independent music, and I'm always going to support it. And I love seeing independent artists get their just due. So there goes that. But I just cannot, for the life of me, and will not, ever like these stupid lists. I'm sorry. So y'all need to do something with that, please. Just make those go away. But the other thing that really got my attention this week was my old pal Will Smith. Will Smith's on an apology tour, y'all. Why? Because he has a movie that's coming out called Emancipation. It will end up on Netflix. The homie Nick Hamilton was at the premiere the other night. And, you know, we got into it on the NH Experience on Sirius XM Slam Radio 145 that aired last Tuesday. It is on all digital platforms where you could download the show. It's podcasted. And you can hear our spirited debate. You know, he calls me a Will Smith hater. Absolutely. I will not, you know, shy away from that. I own that. But Will Smith was on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and he talked about that Emancipation is not just another slave movie. Here's the sound. Check it out.
She's like, Daddy, do we really need another slave movie? When right. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I said, baby, I promise you I wouldn't make a slave movie. This is a freedom movie, you know?
Oh, wow.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this because, to be honest, yes, there's a million movies about slavery and this, that, and the other, and I've seen them all. And, of course, I love when they're educational. Some of them I've learned from. Some of them I haven't. But I don't want to keep seeing movies about slavery. I want to see movies that uplift my people. I'm not saying slavery doesn't. We need to learn about our past because there's a lot of people that need to know more about their culture. But before I knock it or knock him, I'm going to watch it. And then I'll give my review on it and we could discuss. If you've seen it and you have something to say to me, hit me on the DMs at Big Brother Jake or at the Big Brother Jake podcast. He also went on to talk about the infamous night at the Oscars. And this is what he had to say about what he learned from his incident with Chris Rock.
What has it been like for you?
Yeah, that was a horrific night, as you can imagine. You know, there's many nuances and complexities to it, you know. But at the end of the day, I lost it, you know. And I guess what I would say, you just never know what somebody's going through, you know, you know, in the audience right now, you know, you're sitting next to strangers, you know, and somebody's mother died last week, you know, somebody's child is sick, you know, somebody just lost their job. Somebody just found out their spouse cheated. You know, there's all these things and there's strangers and you just don't know what's going on with people, you know? And I was going through something that night, you know? And not that, you know, justifies my behavior at all. No, I would just say, you know, you're asking what did I learn? And it's that, we just got to be nice to each other, man. You know, it's like, it's hard. And I guess the thing that was most painful for me is I took my heart and made it hard for other people. You know, right. And it's like I understood the idea where they say hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
Okay. We can put this all to bed now. I think he's really remorseful what happened. You can hear it. And watching that episode with Trevor Noah, he was crying. And I believe those were real tears that he had. This guy actually got me feeling sorry for him. You know, later in the episode, he talked about how his 9-year-old nephew stayed up to watch his uncle win an Oscar and instead talked about why did he slap that man. I'll say this, and I said it a couple episodes ago. My beef with Will Smith has been well documented on this podcast. He dissed me twice. I don't think he's the nice guy he claims to be. And maybe I'm the common denominator, but two bad days in a row, 6 years apart, nah. That's one hell of a coincidence. But I think this man has been through enough, and he's just gone through it. I don't believe he should keep reliving a mistake he made in regards to what happened the night of the Oscars. Will Smith does deserve a second chance. And some of the punishment he got, you know, the 10-year ban. You know, they say this movie's Oscar worthy. He won't even be able to attend the award show if he's nominated because he's banned. Okay, give him a 2 or 3 year ban. 10 years is a lot. I've changed. I've really thought about it. And I think Will Smith does deserve another chance. And where's the outrage, okay? And I'll say this and I'll give a damn who gets mad. That outrage with, like, Kyrie Irving and the outrage with Kanye West and all these celebrities that were outraged at Will Smith, they haven't spoke up about the Balenciaga, whatever the hell that stupid-ass fucking clothing line is, where they have, you know, kids with teddy bears in bondage. They don't speak up about that, but they're so upset that Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. It's almost a non-story now. Let Will Smith live his life. Let him get back to where he was. Everyone loved him some Will Smith. They Wild Wild West, you know, and oh, here comes the man in black. Y'all were all dancing to those corny-ass songs. Now you guys hate him. Now you're going to love him again. You know, shout out to him for owning it. He's really done his best to own it. I'm not going to hate on the guy no more. I'm not a fan. He's always welcome to come on the Big Brother Jake podcast and tell me he's sorry. I'm not going to hold a grudge no more because life's too short and I'm having a great time with life right now. So let the man eat, let the man live. So Will Smith, you know, props to you for opening up. So that's the shit that got my attention this week. And I can keep going on and on, but I won't bore you to death. But what I want to do is talk about something that a lot of people, especially my age group, is doing now, especially since the pandemic is declared over and people are going back outside again. A lot of us single people are back to dating. And we're going to talk about the art of dating and a different perspective. But first, this. Yo, check it. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, this is Tommy Chong, and I love the Big Brother Jake podcast. Hell, I got high just listening to his podcast, and that's good.
Oh, I know I'm going to get hate for that Bad Bunny take. And all my friends that are Spotify fans, they're the ones that posted their Spotify playlists and all that. I'm ready for the hate. Bring the hate. And bring on the 4-day work week, too, while you're at it. But you know me. I'm just going to call it how I see it. And yes, I've had a change of heart when it comes to Will Smith. I feel bad for the guy. But again, we've already talked about that. What I want to talk about, speaking of change of heart, there's a lot of people in my demographic especially, and a lot of y'all that listen to the Big Brother Jake podcast, a lot of my audience are single older adults that have already been married or been in a couple marriages or been in a few relationships, you know, and it's all foreign to us, and we're all trying to get back at it and trying to do it again. Well, one of the things that I've been asked about a lot is, do you date? Yes, I've been on dates, and I've seen people here and there, and, you know, it's a scary thing to be out there dating. Like, it's really terrifying. And I have some breaking news in regards to dating and dating advice and whatnot in the third segment, but I digress. A good friend of mine, the homegirl Cynthia, she sent me a clip, and I want you guys to listen to this clip. It's very interesting. It's the art of dating, and it's a very interesting take that I've really never thought about before. I'd really like y'all to listen to this take. Check it out.
It's okay to go on a date, because a date is an event. A date is not a commitment. It happened, it was over, you should assess it. You should see if there's any qualifications that were on the list of my priorities and visions that will allow this person to see me again or even get a second interview. See, the thing about good jobs is they know what they're looking for. And if you come to the first interview sagging your pants, your hair not cut, you can't talk, all this other stuff, they're not gonna call you back. But because we're lonely, we give people who are underqualified second interviews. Because there's a shortage in our company, we let unqualified people fill positions that they don't have the ability to fill.
Man, talk about spitting knowledge. My goodness. I don't know this brother's name, but the account that was sent to me by Cynthia is at @THERAVERSE underscore the reverse on Instagram. Wow. This is where we have problems in today's dating culture. We don't take the time to get to know people better. We don't take the time to have the patience to get to know people. We don't treat dates as job interviews. We treat them as if whoever we're seeing or dating, we have to marry them and put up with their shit off the rip. This is why we get into situationships. This is why people want to have, you know, the benefits of a boyfriend or girlfriend without actually committing. It's because a lot of us out here are settling. A lot of us out here don't know what it's like to be alone. A lot of people out here believe being alone and being lonely are the same thing, when in essence, being alone and being lonely are two different things. And a lot of us out here have not healed from the previous relationship that broke us the fuck down. And I'm guilty of it too. I've had my heart broke more than once. But the thing I had to do is sit back, assess what I'm going through, feel the pain of the breakup. Feel the pain of being alone and learn from the pain. You got to feel it and learn from it, and then you can move on. Now, I've been on dating sites and dating apps and all that stuff, and that's been documented on several of my podcast episodes. And I prefer the old-fashioned way, honestly. I'd love to just go up to people and talk to them. But The dating scene is scary. And the thing is, we're in a society now where everything's online. Everybody has, it's like a real life game of The Sims, where we simulate life online. We have online personas, and we don't know how to interact with people anymore. And for some reason, a lot of these people get their influence from social media. Social media has destroyed more relationships than I could count, okay? Because we believe that's reality, and it's far from reality. But we think it's cool to not have emotion. We think it's cool to act like we don't care. You know, if they don't call me, I won't call them. Ego gets involved. And when ego gets involved between two people that don't communicate well, it ends up bad. People aren't clear-cut or precise in what they want. And that's another problem. That's why you go on these dates. You figure out what you want. And if that person has everything you want, all the characteristics, they check all the boxes, you know, then take your time, get to know them, go on several dates. Go to dinner. Go somewhere where the internet's bad and test their patience and see how they react. See if they get hangry when there's a line at the restaurant. See how they treat the servers when the meal's not prepared the way they'd like it. We don't do that anymore. And we get so lonely at times that we do allow people we normally would never be in our lives to occupy positions that they're not qualified for. And it's sad. And being a single man in his late 40s, single father, fresh off divorce, I have a lot of friends that are going through the same thing right now. Very few of my friends are still married. Even a smaller number are still happily married. Sad but true reality, y'all. It's true. And I'm not laughing. It's just hearing me say that, there's a lot of disbelief, and it makes me sad. But I can say for myself, with my marriage, I knew my wife at the time. I knew her 9 months before we got married. I rushed into it. And we stretched it out to 22 years and just about final now. But we didn't take the time to see if they meet certain qualifications because we were just happy we had somebody in each other's lives. And there's a lot of people that are going through the same thing. There are people I know that have only known each other for 4 or 5 weeks and have gotten married, still together, still happy, kids, grandkids, the whole night, okay? So that's an anomaly. That's something that's a statistic that's just wild. And it's rare. They should play the lottery. They'll probably win. But what is it about ourselves where we continue to settle for less and put up with people's bullshit and overlook red flags? Or, you know, it's, for one, it's comfort. It's the comfort zone. We settle because we're just so used to settling. We're not used to certain things. And then you get this great guy or this great girl that checks off everything. Green flags across the fucking board, okay? And you're just like, wow. This person, they get me, they understand me, they show me love, they show me compassion, they support me, they don't give me a hard time when I want to do something. I can go out with the girls, go out with the fellas, I can have a good time. Self-sabotage kicks in because we're so used to fucking settling, y'all. So instead of being happy you found someone, you're just happy to have anyone. And when they occupy your space and occupy your time, then it's like, oh, man. I wish I mean, you know, I'm still with him. I don't really want to be alone. I don't want to start over. Yeah, they're not really qualified to be a part of my company, a.k.a. they're not really the person that checks off in what I want in a relationship, but they're a placeholder, and I'm okay with it. Why do we do that? Why do we self-sabotage? Why do we not give that person that's in the friend zone a chance? Why do good men or women beg the person that's not sure if they want a relationship more than one chance? I'm going to give y'all some game right here, and I'm going to give y'all some really good advice. For a lot of these women out here, and some men out here, complaining about, oh, there ain't enough good men out here or good women out here. You know, they're just, it's just hard. A lot of those good men and a lot of those good women that y'all don't see or you really wish were there, believe it or not, are stuck in a friend zone, but they don't meet a certain criteria for you. They're either not a bad boy, they're not a, you know, a nympho, they're not attractive to, you know, to your eyes or to your, you know, there's something, you know, some people just nitpick and then they wonder why they're alone. Or some people wonder why they're not happy in their marriage, and it's like, if you're not happy, why the fuck do you stay? Convenience. Yeah, you may have made a mistake, but staying for the sake of staying is not something to be honored. You're just hurting yourself, and if you have kids, you bring them in it, and you hurt them. I know. I've been through it. I had to live with it. But if somebody's not worthy of your time, and somebody keeps hurting you over and over again, and if somebody doesn't do the things you want them to do, and they don't make you feel the way you want to feel, you need to 86 their ass and get them the fuck out of your life. Why settle? Why allow somebody that's not qualified for your company, a.k.a. your heart, your love life, to be a part of your company? Why settle? Some of us are just so happy to have somebody in our lives that will put up with their red flags and their bullshit and their lies and the things that drive you crazy. They don't text back. You don't talk to them on a daily basis. I say this, and I'm dead serious. If you can go a whole day without talking to me, you really don't like me. That is fact. Because I know if there's somebody I can't live without, if there's somebody I can't be without, if there's somebody that's on my mind 24/7, 365, sometimes 366 on a leap year, if I know for a fact I love that person or I want them bad or they're a big part of my life, I want them in my life each and every day, I'm going to talk to them each and every single day. I don't give a fuck if I'm in a different country. I don't give a fuck if I'm super busy. If I can have 4 to 5 jobs and post all day long, I can make time for somebody I care about. And that goes for anybody else. If they can go a day without talking to you, a day without texting you, a day without DMing you or sharing memes, they're not that interested in you. But because you continue to make time for them and clear your schedule and let them know you're there for them, people take advantage of that shit. And they say, oh, well, that person's always available to me. They take you for granted. But what they don't realize is you clear your schedule and make time for those people that think you're always there waiting at their beck and call. No, you make availability to them when they need it. If it's not reciprocated, don't waste your time. Stop hiring unqualified people to be in charge of your heart. Have some goddamn respect for yourself and let that person know, you can't give me what I need. You are not qualified to love me and show me love the way I deserve. You don't treat me the way I deserve to be treated. We can't do this no more. And you got to learn to do that. But some of us don't want to lose that person because you hold on to those memories. And in essence, it's not even really the person that you're pursuing day in and day out that you're in love with. You're in love with the memories you once had with them that you no longer have. So you think by holding on to those memories, you can come back and create those same memories with that same person. But in reality, all you have is the memories, but you don't have the person. So you can sit there and let them sabotage your company and break your heart over and over and over and over and over again, or you fire their ass and hire somebody that can do the fucking job that needs to be done for your company, a.k.a. your heart.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to my daddy, Big Brother Jake. This is the Big Brother Jake Broadcast. Bye, everybody.
Woo! The brother at the reverse underscore. If that's him. Whoever that was in that clip was bitten hot fire. And I could go on and on and on and on about that topic, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to harp on that. You know, and sometimes some of the best relationships you fall into are completely accidental and catch you off guard. And I'm open to that. And I'm really hoping one day that happens for me. I'm going to manifest it. I'm not going to search for it. I'm not going to chase it. I'm going to manifest it. That person's coming, and I feel it. Like, I know it's going to happen. So, all right, enough of that. But that does lead into something I want to talk about. Christmas is here. I'm not a Scrooge anymore. I can listen to my dad's favorite song, This Christmas, from Donny Hathaway, and not get sad or cry over it. I'm actually bumping Christmas music a lot this year. I love driving around and seeing the decorations. I'm really a fan of Christmas, man. And I have a wish list this year, okay? I, every year, tell my kids, write down what you want. Daddy Claus is going to get it for you, more than likely, within reason, within budget. But the things I want, you cannot buy in a store. You cannot purchase online. You can pray for it. You can make it happen on your own. And these are some of the things I want. If you have a Christmas wish list, share it with me at Big Brother Jake or at the Big Brother Jake podcast. But I'm at an age now where anything I want to purchase, I can buy on my own. Okay? I don't need anybody's help. I have everything I've ever wanted. I only want to get a truck. That's the only thing that's left is my Chevy Silverado, all black, tinted windows, black rims. Yo, Jamie Plymester, my dog helped me out with that, man. You know how to find a good deal for me. Anyway, there's three things that I want for Christmas. And I'll start my New Year fresh. Y'all know I'm not a big fan of New Year's Eve, but I went the very first time ever I had New Year's Eve alone last year. And I got through it just fine. It was hard, but then after midnight, it was all good. I had my California fish grill. You know, I had some shrimp, some rice. I was good. You know, halibut, just, I was good. But these are the three things that I'm going to manifest for Christmas this year. The first thing is my health. Now, every single day, I go out for a 30-minute walk. Clears the mind, helps the heart, gets the body going for the day. I like to do it early in the morning so I can feel the cold air, get that jump, you know, the jump start. And it sets the tone for your day. I really want to get healthy. I really want to lose weight. I lost a challenge to Nick Hamilton. I did not lose the weight I said I would by December. I owe him dinner. It's not a dinner I want to pay for. And I love paying for people's dinners, but it's not a dinner I want to pay for. But I still need to get my ass in gear. And I'm not doing it for anyone else other than myself and, of course, my kids. I've lost weight this year. I went from a 4XL to a 2XL. So I'm very proud of myself, but I want to get to at least an XL, okay? But I'm proud of that. I want to keep that going. And that's the first thing I'm asking for Christmas. Something I can do myself. The other thing that I would love to have, that's on my wish list, is peace and happiness. And they coincide with one another. You can't be happy if you're at conflict or war with yourself. But if you're at peace, you can find joy. Joy brings happiness. Okay? Again, something you could create yourself. But I did not notice until certain people in my life told me, you're bitter. And I'm always like, oh, Mr. Positive. I'm the hashtag fake philosopher. I have these amazing quotes. And I ain't living by those fucking things. I'm not. And it's sad. And I shouldn't be like that. But peace and happiness are two things you can create on your own. And I really want to have peace in my life. And peace will bring the joy. The joy will bring the happiness. And it starts by cutting off anybody that's not aligned with the things that I want. I like to be around people that have the same wants. I like outside influences, and I like people that bring different viewpoints to my life. But ask me something positive. I'm not going to sit around and have, you know, tea spilled everywhere and talk shit on people. That's not what I like to do. It's not what I want to do. I want to be around people that bring joy to the situation, that bring solutions. If you have a problem, let's discuss your problem one time. Next time, solutions. I want peace and I want happiness. I love coming to the Big Brother Bungalow after a long doubleheader day of Kings and Clippers or producing podcasts or out there being a dad or whatever the hell I'm into, and I'm a busy man. I come home to the Big Brother Bungalow in peace. And I want happiness. And I can create that on my own. I don't need anyone to make me happy. I need them to add to my happiness, friends or otherwise, which leads to the third thing I'm going for in 2023. True love. I'm going to manifest that true love, like I said in the beginning or in the previous segment. True love. Not a love where I feel empty. Not a love where I feel like I have to beg for it. Not a love where I feel like I have to, when are you going to call me? Damn, I miss you. Like, I don't want that. I want somebody that when I'm thinking about them, right when I'm about to call, bam, I get a text. Somebody that will protect my heart. Somebody that will love me for me and all my craziness and my overthinking. We could build together, learn to love one each, you know, one another. I bring my problems, you bring your problems. We work our own problems out together and separately. True love. It's out there, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, damn it, because I deserve it. It's out there. I know it's out there, and I'm manifesting it now. By this time next year, I will have somebody. And this may come across as desperate, and this may come across as, you know, whatever. I don't care, but it's my time to shine, all right? I've been through some wars, and I've been through some bullshit, and I've been through some hurt and some pain and some heartbreak, but not anymore. It's happening. It's happening because, you know, one day I'm going to say, what? This is happening. And it's going to be the best time of my life, and I'm going to just love this person. It's going to be great. I know it. Those are the things that I want for Christmas, and you can do it too. Damn it. So let's land this plane right now. Big announcement before we land this plane. Your favorite person that's been on this podcast several times, other than P-Dub, Mama Pam, a.k.a. Pamela Bradley, her government name, will be on next week's edition of Big Bro Jake's Big Bites of Love. Yes, it's all about love and everything lately. But get your questions in at Big Brother Jake, at the Big Brother Jake podcast. You can DM me or send emails thebigbrotherjakepodcast@gmail.com. And I'll post a link on my Instagram story. So look out for that later this week. I'm going to have Mama Pam on for Big Bro Jake's Bay Bye to Love. The return. Because y'all loved it and missed it when I had my, I'm going to quit. Ooh, I hate this podcast. And I'm back doing it again. And another thing regarding Mama Pam. There will be a new segment called Mama Pam's Minute. Where she'll just go off on a tangent for a whole minute. Or however long she thinks a minute is. And you'll get some knowledge from her. Or some laughs. Or some things to make you go, Mama Pam's Minute. We'll be on the Big Brother Jake podcast. So look for that next week. Big Bro Jake's Big Bite to Love featuring Mama Pam and yours truly. So you have a million and one podcasts to listen to and you chose this one. So I'm very grateful. So subscribe, rate, and review the Big Brother Jake podcast. The more five stars, the more great comments, the more the bosses keep me around. So do that for me, please, if you would. I truly appreciate it. So until next week, I say to you, and yours.
You're listening to the Big Brother Jake podcast.